Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
David said in Psalms number 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He said, because of this, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou, that is the Lord, art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows." Therefore, in verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness," or mercy, "will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I have another scripture to read as I commence today's teaching, which is a continuation of what I've been discussing on the power of death and the victory that's in Christ Jesus. And this one is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, in verse 10. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." Now, I have read this so that we can continue what we began to discuss last time concerning the matter of God filling all things in our lives. You know, we have been explaining about the power of death and the victory that's in Christ Jesus. Let me just recap for a few minutes many of the things that we have said. I need to emphasize it again that when we talk about the power of death, we are talking about the spiritual force that's in the atmosphere, in the environment, that makes things go wrong. All right, these are the things that corrupt the divine order that God has placed into things. Spiritual death is that which makes sickness come into our bodies. The Bible calls them the agonies of death. Spiritual death is that which wrecks a business, which removes intelligence from a child. Spiritual death is that which creeps into a marriage and makes an enemy of a husband and a wife. Spiritual death is that which wrecks divine order. And we said that the power of death is wielded by Satan over those who he has something in. Concerning this, Jesus said, "The prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." I said that if Satan doesn't have something in you, he cannot hold on to you. And again, don't forget, even though he had something in you in the past, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. From the day that you believed, you truly believed that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you repented of your former ways and began to follow the life that is in Christ. From that day, all things were passed away. Everything that Satan had in you had been removed. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. I've said it again and again. The blood of Jesus is not a magic wand that we wave in the time of trouble. The blood of Jesus is that which has the ability to cleanse what nothing else can cleanse. The blood of Jesus is that which has the power to cleanse away from your life that which Satan has against you. All the voices of accusation that's rising up against you, they are being silenced by the power of the blood of Jesus. I don't mean that you get up and shout the blood of Jesus. Now, that is good, all right? If you like, go ahead and shout that. But it's not the shouting that makes it. Do you follow? It is that God indeed has poured that blood upon your life. He has poured that blood upon your heart, and he does that automatically anytime you come to him in repentance. First and foremost, when you come in full repentance concerning your former life and you begin to follow Jesus, not just follow religion, not just follow a church. No, we're not talking about just a matter of, look, I think it's time for a man to settle down and begin to go to church. It's something you find very commonly. You find that the young woman has been wild, playing all her life around. She entered campus from one party to the other, from one big man's bed to another one, and making life very, feeling very good with herself. Then when she begins to get to the final year on campus, she says, it's time to settle down. Suddenly she joins fellowship or begins to go to church because she knows that there's a mugun of a man who will also do the same thing and come over to church, all right? When it's time to look for a wife, or you understand? So that the two of them will come and meet themselves. Listen, that's not what I mean about repenting. Because such people, they think that they have followed a particular strategy, that there's a time to play and there's a time to be serious. Now, that's not repentance. This is that you are still following your own path in life when you are doing that. Repentance is when you indeed look and say, no, this is not what life is. The repentance is that in which if you had the chance, all right, you will live life again differently. Repentance is that in which we teach young people after you that this was how I lived life and it was not right. Repentance is that when you look, if you have to counsel people after, you will say, I did this, but I regret it. I did this, I wish I did not. I did this and I realized it was the wrong thing to do. It is not that, I was smart, and I played in time for playing. I was rough, I was everywhere, I was really having fun. But man, when a man or a woman had to settle, all right, if you don't get a good husband playing like that, you have to go to church so you can get a good husband. Listen to me, you have not repented. What you have just done is that you have consecrated yourself in your own ways. You have decided that this is, I will follow my own path until I die. Listen, let me say it again to you today. In case that's what you are planning, you will meet with failure. That's not what I'm preaching. I am not preaching craftiness. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What I am describing is true repentance that calls upon God in faith, asking for forgiveness. Do you understand my point? Now, so when you have repented, when you have looked at those works and you have said these things are not good, vanity upon vanity, you said, therefore, let me follow the Lord. Then God, what he does, when you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God washes away everything that Satan had in your life. What Satan will have used to hold you in bondage, God wipes it away. Then you become a victorious person in Christ Jesus. And Satan doesn't have power over you. Listen, whether you keep awake at night or go to sleep. In fact, David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. That is, you don't have to keep up all night fighting the devil. What you do is that you go and sleep, in rest in the arms of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Knowing fully well that Satan doesn't have power over you. One of the things I explained is that it's when he tempts us that he now gets that power over us. Now, last thing I was trying to say is that, what should I do therefore? I'm not going to be fighting Satan. What you will do is that you will magnify the Lord in your life. And that's what I'm going into further again today. You magnify the Lord at all times. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I was meditating the other day in my room in the house, and I got to that scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul. I meditated for a while, then I turned to my wife and said, look, what does it mean really to bless the Lord? Because when we use the word bless, alright, what we are saying usually is that we want to confer the ability to succeed upon somebody, spiritual ability. That is, if your child is going out and you bless the child, you say, it shall be well with you today. What you are saying is that you are invoking the power of God upon that person. In fact, God said to Moses, like I referred to it some time ago, in that Numbers chapter 6, this is how you will bless the children of Israel. He said, when you have blessed them by saying, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and all of that. He said, when you have done that, then I, the Lord, will now come down and bless them. He said, you will have invoked my name upon them. Now, what am I saying? When we use the word bless, what we are doing is that we are empowering somebody to succeed through the spiritual method of God's power. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, so when we say bless the Lord, it's kind of awkward. Praise the Lord, it makes sense. Worship the Lord, it makes sense. But the Bible says in that Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. So I asked my wife, I said, what do you really think this means? And she also meditated for a while, and we began to talk about it. And we realized something, I believe that is so true. I believe it was the Holy Spirit helping us to understand. What was he saying? That he speak positively concerning the Lord. My wife pointed something out to me. He said, you notice that the next verses, he began to explain the things concerning the Lord. He said, who pardons all your iniquities? Now, look, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? So we realize that, listen, what was David saying when he says, bless the Lord? He may speak positively about the Lord. Then suddenly I realized that this is what I've been saying when we read from Psalm 91. He said in that Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Are you getting my point? That is what David was saying, is that go out and say something of the Lord. Go there and say something of the Lord. And I explained to us last time that he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall automatically find himself being covered by the power and the influence of the Almighty. Do you understand my point? That is, when we want God's power to be manifested in our lives, what we do is to crawl into the secret place of the Most High. Are you getting my point? And he said, how do I do that? I will say of the Lord. It is what I am saying. Now, you know, I began to explain this the other time about how we give Satan power over our lives. I've established none of this, though we titled the message, The Power of Death and the Victory That's in Christ Jesus. Why we talked about the power of death is for the Christians to understand that you are no longer under the power of Satan. your job, instead of spending all time worrying about Satan, instead of spending all your time worrying about witches, I'm giving you a new job right now. Magnify the Lord in your life. Meditate upon His goodness. That's what I'm coming to. That what God wants to do, I said last time, is to fill every corner of your life. Instead of you saying that the reason why I'm having problems is because witches are against me, the reason why I'm having problems is because Satan is against me, go to the center of your problem and discover the name of God in the center of that problem. Call upon that name, and the Bible says that you will be saved. It said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, please, let me explain something to you. We are talking about the way of victory, the way of success. I am saying that first and foremost, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Are you getting my point? When you have been saved from your sins, when you have been reconciled to God, then when you go through issues in life, your job is to magnify the Lord. Oh my God, please get what I'm going to explain. Your job is to magnify the Lord. Look, everything you go through in life is serving one of two purposes. One is to test you, and two is to refine you. Now, let me explain what I'm going to explain. That is, it first exposes that which is inside your heart. Once that has been exposed, if it is negative, you confess it to God and use the word of God to refine your heart better. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, circumstances in life are not real in themselves. The only thing that is real is the relationship between you and God. And God allows you to go through problems in life so that you will know what to confess away from your life and where to get better in life. You will have issues in life. I said that last time. There's no gainsaying that fact. You will have problems. You will have challenges. But listen, instead of sitting down and saying, the reason why I have problems, the reason why I have challenges is because of Satan, is because of witches, rise up and magnify God in the midst of your problems and magnify God in the midst of your challenges. You remember what I said? He that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Call God's name. Now, what do I mean when I talk about God's name? Listen, name is very interesting. You know, there are people who go around preaching that, look, this is the name that God bears, one particular name. I discovered one thing, God doesn't have a single particular name. And there are many reasons for that. You know, for example, maybe you call me Pastor Banke. Banke is short for my full name, right? Now, in any language, if I go to China, I don't become Pastor Chin Chuan because I'm now in China. My name is still Banke. If I go down to East Africa and they're speaking Swahili, it's the same thing. If I go down to the US and everybody is speaking English, it's the same thing. Wherever I go, if I go down to Mexico and I start speaking Spanish, even in Hausa, I will tell you Sunanan Banki. That is, I will still say that same thing because that is what my name is. Do you understand what I'm going to say? But God doesn't have that. He doesn't. Anywhere He gets to, He takes a new sound to His real name. Do you get my point? I need to explain this. Because when we talk about calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved thereby, it is not just by saying anything we like. It is by recognizing that God has a name in every situation. And that name, the name that God bears, listen, is described according to the situation that you find yourself in. Do you understand? I like the way Miles Monroe explained it. That when God sent Moses into Egypt to go and deliver the children of Israel, he asked God, he said, who will I say sent me? He said, what is your name? Who will I say sent me? He said, this is my name. I am that I am, or I am who I am. And like the Red Prince explained, he said, when you get there, tell them that he is sent me. Now, please, get what I'm going to explain here. Miles Monroe said, God didn't say anything in full. He gave them an introduction to his full name. That what he was saying is that whatever situation you find yourself, call upon the name of the Lord. You will discover what I have become in that situation. So that when you are thirsty, I have become the water of life. So you say, he is the water of life. I will say of the Lord, he is the water of life. When I become broke, when I become hungry, when I have nothing, I will say of the Lord, he is God my provider. When we say El Shaddai, is the Hebrew pronunciation for that expression. The almighty breasted one, ability to supply all things, the all-sufficient God. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, I said before that situations in life make demands of us. And God wants to fill all things in all. This is your job as a believer, to discover God's name in every situation and call upon that name. Please, listen, this is how you experience victory. What we do a lot of times is to engage in what I call Satan worship, thinking that we are fighting Satan. We are magnifying him. You know, one day I was in a church service in Lagos, and somebody was trying to give a testimony. And you hear it a lot of times. Praise the Lord. Then Satan came and he did that. Praise the Lord. And Satan came and he spoiled my business. And Satan came and he stole my money. And Satan came and he destroyed my house. And Satan, after a while, the pastor interrupted the person and said, please, tell us what happened when the Lord came. Because, you see, this is the sense. We speak so much of Satan, we don't realize that's what we're doing. Go and read the Psalms. Most of what was spoken about was the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's why we read that to introduce. That is, we speak of the Lord. What do we do most of the times in life? People, natural people, we speak of our problems. And we pastors sometimes, we have encouraged people to speak about both their problems and their enemies and the devil. Instead of them magnifying the Lord, David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. That is, let's not sit down and describe the problem with the dollar and the naira. Let us describe the fact that the Bible says that in the midst of that situation, those that fear the Lord will not lack anything good. It said, the Lord is a strong tower, a defense, a mighty help in the time of trouble. That's what you should be describing. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? People say, oh, what future do we have for our children? Someone was talking to me once. He said, why he wants to go to a country, like, you know, somewhere in Europe? Is that there you can plan for your children. You can plan your future. And I thought to myself, this is the silliest thing I've heard in a very long time. How can you tell me that there you can plan anything about tomorrow? Who knows what tomorrow will be according to the things that are today? Nobody. The only thing we know, all right, we who are of faith, is that God has tomorrow in his hands. I like a song that I listened to those days by an American group called Sounds of Blackness. It said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's what it means to speak of the Lord. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Listen, the name of God, all right, is not just an alphabet or a particular word. The name of God is not a particular set of alphabets. The name of God is when we have recognized his person and we understand how he described himself under each situation. To the barren woman, he said, this is my name. I am God that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Are you getting my point? He said, rejoice you that did not bear, because more are the children of the desolate than the children of him who had a husband. Are you following what I'm explaining? God is describing what he's about to do. He said, I am the one, I turn a thirsty ground, that is a desert land, into a well-watered garden, and I dry up the sea. That is, I can change situations. The person said, look, this is the crazy thing. You cannot plan your future. That is magnifying the name of a country. You cannot plan your future according to what you think is an ideal social structure. You are magnifying the name of that country. Are you getting my point? And listen. God does something, and he's doing it again and again. He shows us all the time that human systems fail. Oh God. God showed to the communists that communism doesn't work. Then when that happened and communism collapsed, the capitalists turned around and said, we always told you people, capitalism is the answer. And God said, no, you have missed the point. Capitalism is not the answer. And then he turned around and showed them that capitalism doesn't work. So there began to be economic collapse all over the world. The capitalist country began to collapse one after the other. The doctrine of free market is now in jeopardy. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That we don't even understand what is going on. Even the people, they are confused. Before, you know, you've heard this expression before. Government has no business doing business. And that is true. And many of us believe it, and I still believe it to a large extent. But then God said, let me show you people that that is not the secret. Privatization is not necessarily the secret towards eternal prosperity. Right now, America and Europe, they are talking about nationalizing their biggest banks, which is the exact opposite of privatization. They say it's a temporary measure, but at least God has shown us that there is no... there is no security anywhere. He said, liberalize the market. God said, fine. He gave them a very liberal market. At the end of the day, the new gospel we are preaching is that liberalized market is very good, but there must be good regulation. Now they are saying, okay, let make sure we don't over-regulate you, because they realize that the next place now is that we have to regulate some things. What am I going to say? God has shown us that human beings, there's nothing that we cook up by ourselves that can last. Only, it says, the Bible says that safety is of the Lord. Only in the Lord, all right, is safety. Therefore, if I'm concerned about tomorrow for my children, what do I say of the Lord? I say, He is the Lord who has my tomorrow in His hands. I say of the Lord, He is the one who chooses my inheritance for me. I say of the Lord, He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That even though I can't see what tomorrow will be like, I can see the God who does not change no matter how much the times and the seasons change. Therefore, I can put my life in His hands. What am I saying? When you are doing this, you are magnifying God. And let me say something. God and the devil and the powers of darkness, they are like light and darkness. The more light you shine into a situation, the more the darkness recedes. The more you brighten the light in a room, the more you don't see the darkness that was there. That is, instead of getting up and shouting, "Darkness, where are you? I will fight you." Get up and light your candle. Instead of just lighting your candle, light an electric bulb. Instead of just a bulb, put on a floodlight. Are you getting my point? Fill your life with the knowledge of God. Call upon the name of the Lord. When the Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," that is what I'm describing. That God has a name to call under different circumstances. Do you get my point? There is a name of God for you to call under different circumstances. There is a name of God for you to call under different situations. What you need to do as a believer is grab hold of your Bible, begin to read, and discover the names that God has called Himself, and begin to call Him those names. And the Bible says that is how you will be saved. Are you getting my point? That's why David said in Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know what a shepherd is? He's somebody that leads me. He said He leads me in the path. There is a path that God has created for my life. I realize therefore that my life is not an accident. Many times issues happen around me. And what I keep hearing again and again, rising up from my spirit, is, "Banky, don't worry." That is, when there is cause to worry, God is saying to you, "I want you to understand that in the midst of the reason to worry, you should not worry." There are times I think things are getting worse in a certain area. And God begins to show me eventually by His Spirit that actually what appears outwardly, like things are getting worse, indeed things are getting better. Are you getting my point? You just don't have the eyes to see it. He said, "He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." What am I saying? There is a path that God created before I was born. David said, "Before there was yet any one of them, all the days of my life were written in thy books." And he said, "The path of the just is like the light of dawn, and it shines brighter and brighter until a perfect day." So I understand that my life is going up somewhere. I am not an accident. In the midst of confusion, I call God by His name. The God that has my life in His hands. The God that appoints my inheritance for me. The God whose glory is my rear guard. Are you getting my point? That's the name of the Lord. It's not just because, you see, some of us think that the way by which we pray is that we're going to learn the big things in the Bible. "Oh, thou God that dwellest in light unapproachable." You don't know the meaning of that. "Thou God that stretches His hand from the ends of the earth to the ends of the universe." "Thou God that you speak all kinds of big English." Listen to me. God has a name that you can understand. Listen. The only woman that was barren and did not bear a child in the Bible, her name was Michal, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David. There was something, all right, about her relationship with David, which I understood was why she did not bear. She had no regard for the man. And when the man was going to bless his family, she came to challenge him. Now, the story I'm talking about is when David brought the ark down into Israel. And the Bible said that David danced with all his might before that ark. And Michal went and challenged him, because the Bible says David blessed Israel and then returned to go and bless his family, his household. And Michal came and challenged him. And Michal said, "Oh God, how have you disgraced yourself today, my husband? Look at you dancing and becoming naked in the front of the whole of Israel." And David said, "No, you don't get the point. I was dancing before God." Listen to this. Listen to this. He said, "I was dancing before God who made me king instead of your father." Because her father was Saul. He was the one that David replaced. David said, "Even though I was a shepherd boy, yet God took me from the backsides of the wilderness where I was shepherding my father's few sheep. And He brought me to the forefront of the nation and made me a king."
What am I saying? When he was describing God, he described God as to according to the experience that he had. When you want to call upon the name of the Lord so that you might be saved, what do? You find out the name that God has called himself, all right, in the midst of that kind of situation. Are you getting my point? For example, he said, I am God the provider. Jehovah Jireh, we say. Forget the big English. Forget the Hebrew word. Speak in the word that you understand. God, my provider. Do you get my point? When you don't have a job, call him God, my provider. When you need wisdom, when you lack direction, when you don't know what to do, call him. He said, in him is the fullness of the Godhead. Wisdom is in him. God, in fact, Jesus, the word of God was called wisdom. Call upon him. He said, God, the God of wisdom, my wisdom. When you are troubled and everything seems to be upside down, you say like Gideon. The Bible says that Gideon built an altar in Judges chapter 6, in verse 23 and 24. He said, and said, the Lord is peace. That is a God, my peace, you call upon him. When things are confusing, you don't know what to do, you need to make critical decisions you don't know. You say, God, he said, the Lord, my God, is the God of knowledge. That's what Samuel said concerning him. He said, the Lord is king forever. Everything is in his hands. The Bible said that for him whom we have to do, all things are laid bare. What am I saying? We have situations every day. We have circumstances every day. We have troubles. We have victories. We have successes. We have days of glory. In all of these things, there is a name that God bears. For example, he said, my glory and the lifter of my head. When you have success, when you have triumph, shout, God, you are my glory and the lifter of my head. That prevents you from entering into pride. Because once you become proud, you begin to fall. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, God wants to fill every corner of your life. There is the name of the Lord for every portion of you. And the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm describing the path of salvation. Listen, don't worry about the devil. You have overcome him. Don't worry about troubles. Don't worry about your enemies. You are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. If you are of faith, the assignment that the good Lord has given you is, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. That is what you are supposed to do. You rise up in the morning magnifying God. You don't spend your time, listen, magnifying the devil, but you magnify the Lord. Magnify him at all times. Let him fill every corner of your life. Prophesy upon your children according to the name of the Lord. Invoke God's name over your business. Invoke God's name over everything that you do. And you discover that you indeed have the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I hope you've gotten the point I've made all these days.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.